All right, Shabbos, say good morning. Let's begin. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Daf Samech Dala 64. Actually, very beautiful daf with some beautiful agarita. So says the Gemara 64, Samech Dala, we're picking up at Tashma, which is 2, 4, 6 lines down from the top. Tashma. So let's remember again, we're focusing on the sugya of Avodah Zarah. So up until now, we've been very focused on the halachos concerning Avodah Zarah. Now the Gemara is going to tell us a little bit about the background of Avodah Zarah. So Tashma, Vayizaku b'kol gadol Hashem Eloheim. So the pasuk says that they called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They called out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu with a great voice. So the pasuk over here is from Nehemiah, and as we're going to see in just a moment, this pasuk is a reference to the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the men of the great assembly. So they're calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the point? What are they calling out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about? So the Gemara says, "My Amr, what are they calling out? What are they davening about?" Some Rabbi Yehuda, Vitim Rabbi Yonasan, "Bye bye." They were calling out and saying, "Oi oi." "Bye bye" means "oi oi." Rashi says over here, "Bye bye." Beloshon Arami hoi, loshon ginuach v'tzaka kimon aha beloshon hakodesh. So the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah crying out, "Oi vavoi." Hainu da'achre ve'levesa. I'm sorry, before we begin, our shir is dedicated by Sa'idin Simehaken for the entire month, in honor of the month of Elul, the Yomim Moram, and Aliyah, for Sa'id's father's neshama, a refuah for kol chole Yisrael, and a ksiva v'chassim atoa for all of Klal Yisrael. So they're calling out, "Oi, oi, hainu da'achre ve'levesa." It's because of this that Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Kalya lehechala, the hechal was destroyed. Katlinu letzadikim, the tzadikim were killed. Vaglinu liyisrael ni'arayhu. And Klal Yisrael was exiled from their land. Va'adayin humirakid deinon. And he's still dancing amongst us. What is this a reference to? This is a reference to the Itzahara for Avodah Zarah. We'll say this is the famous Gemara. So they're complaining, Ribono Shel Olam, the Yitzhahara for Avodah Zarah is responsible for so much destruction. I will say now, the truth is, the Yitzhahara is not responsible for anything. Man is responsible for everything. Right? We have Bechira, we have free choice, but Anshei Knesset HaGedolah tried to melame Yitzchus HaKlal Yisrael. Ribono Shel Olam, this Yitzhahara is driving us crazy. This Yitzhahara is creating so many problems. And it's still here. The Beis HaMikdash has been destroyed. We have been exiled, and the Yitzhahara is still here. So the Gemara says, listen to this. We know that you gave us the Yitzhahara for Avodah Zarah for one reason, to receive reward. Right? The stronger the Yitzhahara, the stronger the schar, if you go ahead and you fight against that desire. So, klum yavise lon elo lekabule be'agra. We have a counter deal. Lo ihu ba'inon, v'lo agre ba'inon. God, here's the counter offer. The counter offer is, you keep the Yitzhahara, you could also keep the schar. In other words, so what they're saying is, thank you, they've been there, done that. You keep the Yitzhahara, you could also keep the schar. So what happens? Basar da'aviko be. So after they went ahead, and they davened. Yasu tlas yom v'tanisa. They fasted for 3 days. Bo rachamei. We'll say second white line. Samech talalam adalif. Bo urachamei. So they davened. Noflu luhu piska mirakia davekasev be emes. A note came down from Shamayim, and on the note was written MS. Nebosai. So it says the Gemara, Amar Bichanir Shmamino, Chosama Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu MS. You see from here that the signature of the Ribono Shel Olam is MS. So we'll say, what's happening over here? The note that falls down from Shamayim, essentially that petek, right, that little note from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is Ribono Shel Olam's way of saying, okay, agreed. It's been enough. The Yitzhahara for Avodah Zarah has run its course. You've gotten your reward, but it's also responsible for much destruction. I'm willing to go ahead and yield to your request. What happens? Nafika Guria Dinorma Beis Kodesh HaKadoshim. A fiery lion emerged from the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Amar Luhu Navi Li Yisrael. So the Navi says to Chal Yisrael, Hainu Yitzhahad Ba'adah Avodah Zarah. That fiery lion, that is the Yitzhahara for Avodah Zarah. And I will say, now amazingly enough, where is the Yitzhahara for Avodah Zarah coming from? It's running out of where? Out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which Rabbi says is an incredible Yisod. It teaches you that the desire for Yitzhahara, In life, there's no such thing as a negative drive. So a drive is a manifestation of human energy. Human energy, koach, ability, resolve, just has to be channeled in the right way. Avodah Zarah, Rabbosai, is a very powerful drive. It represents a desire to connect to the divine. It also represents a desire to do whatever you want, right? Which we saw yesterday, but it represents a desire to connect to something bigger than one's self. Therefore, it comes from a Kodesh HaKodashim. It just has to be channeled in the right way, but it's a very, very powerful koach. So what happens? They grabbed hold of the fiery lion. As they grabbed hold of it, a hair came off. They plucked out a hair. So apparently, again, the fiery lion was hurt, and its voice was heard for 400 parasos. What should we do? See, here is the problem. The problem is that maybe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to hear the pain, so to speak, of the Yetzirah of Avodah Zarah, and he's going to have compassion on it, because remember, apparently he was injured. He was injured. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to have compassion on it. We'll say, again, there's so much to say on this Gemara. If this wasn't the Slichos day, there'd be a lot to say over here also. But this idea that Verachem Allah Kol Masal, the Ribbono Shel Olam's Rachamim, his compassion is so profound and so widespread. So the Navi says, here's what you should do. Put the Yetzirah in a lead cauldron and go ahead and cover it with a lead covering. So we'll say that idea being, if you do that, that drowns out noise. So dichsev vayomer zos harasha vashlech osa otocha ifa vashlech hasavin aparas apio. Amri. So what happens? We'll say, so they capture the Yitzhara for Avodah Zarah. So now again, the Yitzhara has been captured, it's kept in a lead cauldron, and it's done. So we'll say, if you wonder today why it is that we read these things about Avodah Zarah, and we wonder to ourselves, how could people be so silly? How can they be so silly? How could they be so, we understand a lot of the Yitzharas in life. The one thing we can't seem to wrap our head around is Avodah Zarah. So I'll say a very good reason why. Because Anshei Knesset HaGdolah davened that Yitzharah be handed over to them. Indeed, again, they captured it. They went ahead and they literally incarcerated it. And that's why we don't have that Yitzhara today. So the Gemara goes weiter. So the Anshei Knesset says, listen, we're on a roll. So now that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us over the Yitzhara for Avodah Zarah, why don't we daven that God should give us over the Yitzhara for arayos, for illicit relations, for sexuality, for negative sexuality. Let's get the Yitzhara as well. Bo rachame, im shabi ado. So sure enough, again, they davened, and the Ribbono Shel Olam handed over the Yitzhara in their hands. Chavshua tzlasa yami, they literally kept that Yitzhara captive for 3 days, and here was the problem. Ibo be'asa basyom alachola, v'lo ashkechu. They tried to find a freshly laid egg, and they could not find one. Or specifically for a chol. Apparently, certain remedies require a fresh egg. They couldn't find fresh eggs. Why couldn't they find a fresh egg, Rabosai? Because at the end of the day, the hens weren't laying eggs. Because one of the manifestations of the Yetzirah for what the Gemara calls Avera, for relations, for sexuality, for, again, in an illicit way, is a normal sexual drive, is a normal healthy sexual drive, is normal procreation. So when they took away that Yetzirah, not only did the illicit stuff kind of go away, but the normative drives went away as well, to which the Gemara says, Amru Hechi Navid. So what should we do? Niboy Palga, Palga Merakia Lo Yavi. See, if we daven for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to remove part of this Yetzirah, that's not the way God works, right? God is not going to remove half of it. Either the drive is there or it's not. So the Gemara says, what do they do? Kachlinu le'enei. So we'll say literally what it means is they blinded one of its eyes. So they blinded one of the eyes of the Yetzirah for Avera, for illicit relations. So we'll say, so what does that do? Now again, the Mashah has a whole piece on this, the Ben Yoyada has a whole piece on this. We're not going to get into that. What it just means for our purposes is somehow they were able to blunt it. They were able to weaken it, to blunt it a little bit. So we'll say, so what did that do? Ahani bay delo igri inchi bikravase. So we'll say, helped in that what? People don't have a desire for incest. We'll say, it's an incredible yisod. We'll say, Klal Gadol is, whatever the Torah prohibits, it's because man has a desire for it. Very important to sort. the Ribbono Shel Olam does not aser anything for which man does not have some type of desire. Both is actually, there's a lot to be said about this. So this applies to Mishkav Zachar. This applies ultimately again to the most illicit of arayos. If it's there, if it's aser, it's because the Kodesh Baruch Hu realizes that we have a desire proclivity for it. So as I say, we wonder to ourselves, how come normal people might have a desire for all kinds of arayos, but never incest? Never incest. Incest is one of the most like taboo illicit relations that we have. And again, most, I'm talking about normal people who have a desire for many other things, don't have a desire for that. What's the pshat? So the Gemara attributes that to the fact that Chazal were able to blunt that Yitzhahara a little bit. They couldn't go ahead and remove it. They couldn't go ahead and take it away because obviously the ripple effects of that would have been catastrophic on humanity. But they were able to blunt the power of that Yitzhahara just a bit. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Rav. Ma'isa b'nachas achas. We'll say back to Avodah Zarah. Ma'isa b'nachas achas. Shaisa chol b'yosef. So we'll say, listen to this. There was a story of a particular Gentile woman who was exceptionally ill. Amra in tamorai isha michulya. So we'll say, what does she do? She does what most of us do when we're in trouble, which is we make deals with God. Now, she was not making just deals with God, she was making deals with God, Zah. Right? So she said, if I recover, I will worship every single Avodah Zarah known to man. Okay? We'll say, you have to understand something, meaning righteous lady. Righteous lady, misguided obviously, but exceptionally righteous. So sure enough, Baruch Hashem, she recovers, and she starts off on her whirlwind tour to worship every single Avodah Zarah. Listen to this. Kevin Shegiel LaPa'ar, when she came to Baal Pa'ar, Sha'ala LaKomrim, B'me'ovdin L'zu, so she asked the Pa'ar priests, how do you worship this idol? Amrullah, Ochlin Shradin V'shosin Sheikha, Matrisin B'farnah. So they said to her, listen, here's what you do. You eat beets, You drink beer. So apparently, again, this acts almost as like a laxative on a person. Umatrizim b'fana, and you defecate on the idol. So listen to what she says. Amra, mutov shetachsara hi isha l'chol yav lo tabor avodah zarah b'kach. She says, that is the most disgusting thing I've ever heard. Right? Better for me to get sick again than to worship idolatry. That meaning what she was giving them was musar. Like, how do you guys not have respect for your idol? Meaning she says, like, I'm like a biki and avodah zarah. I'm worshiping everything. This is just pasha disgusting. So she wouldn't even lower her. She had too much respect for Pa'ar to worship the idol like this. Okay? So the Gemara says, listen to this. Atem beis Yisrael ein lankin. So we'll say, so the Gemara over here now gives a little bit of Musar. So this is Rabbi Yehuda saying the name of Rav. So after Rabbi Yehuda in the name of Rav recounts this story, he gives Musar. He says, Klal Yisrael, if you only had as much Kedusha as this woman, hanitzmodim lebal par kitzamid posel. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Rav, you know, this woman recognized how disgusting Baal par was. And yet the Torah says that Klal Yisrael is nitzmadim leba'al par. And both say nitzmadim literally means attached, but the Gemara dashes kitzamid psil, literally like the cover of a utensil which fits tightly into the utensil. So both say when it comes to Baal par, the Torah says hanitzmadim leba'al par, that we're very connected to Baal par. Yet when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it only uses the lashon of Vatem hadveikim b'Hashem Elokeichem. You're connected to God. What kind of connection? Keshtei tamros hadvukos zubazu. Like two dates that are attached to us. So we'll say two dates stick to each other. Why? Because they're both sticky. But lamaisik, and they can be very easily removed from one another. So your connection, the Gemara is giving us Musar. The connection to Baal Pa'ar was quite intense. But yet connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not. Masnisa Tana, we'll say have a different version of this exchange, Baruch Hashem. Had its mother Baal Pa'ar, Kitsamet Ayidea Isha. So what does it mean that we're Nitzvan Baal Pa'ar? Like a bracelet on a woman. So when a woman wears a bracelet, what happens? The bracelet is on her person, it's on her body, but it's not stuck to her, right? It moves around. So yes, sometimes unfortunately we have the connection to Avodah Zarah, but that connection is never intense. That connection is never strong. V'atem advekim Hashem Elokeichem, devukim mamish. When the pasuk says that we're dveikim, that we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we'll say that's mamish advekis, mamish connection. So we'll say, we paskin like the second girsa. Right? We paskin like the second girsa. How do I know? Because we've just made the decision right now. We paskin like the second girsa. When it comes to Avodah Zarah, we'll say, at most, we're like the bracelet on the arm of the woman. Yeah, it's there, it's attached, but it's not attached, it's not dovok. When it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, v'atem advekim v'Hashem Elokeichem. Tanra Abanon. Ma'aseh b'Safta ben Elos. So there was a story. Safta Rabosai is not Safta grandma. Safta is his name. Right? Safta ben Elos. Shehiskir chamor le'nochris achos. One time, Safta ben Elos ran like a car service. So what happens? One time he rented out his donkey to a particular Gentile woman. And the Rabosai says he rented out his donkey. What it means is, she's riding on the donkey. He's leading the donkey. So what happens? Kevin Shigilabar, Amr Lahamtin, Ache Karnese Eitse. So when they get to Baal Pa'ar, so she says, listen, just wait for me here for just a second. I'm going to run in for just a few minutes to Baal Pa'ar, right? Keep the meter running and I'll come right out. So what happens? So what? La'achar She'yatza, Amr Af'at Hamtini Ache Karnese Ve'eitse. So listen to this, Rabosai. So he says to her, listen, now that you went in, do me a favor. You watch the donkey for a few minutes. Let me go in. So let's listen to this. Amra lo, velo Yehudi ata. So I said, listen to this. So she says to him, aren't you a Yid? Like, aren't you a Jew? What are you doing over here? Amra lo, umay ichbaslech. Sister, what's your business? What's your business? So we'll say, we're going to see, by the way, there's a machlokis hamafarshim, how to understand what exactly is happening over here. Whether or not Safta ben Alas is actually going to worship the idol, or if he's going to disrespect or disparage the idol. So we'll say, so according to the girsa that he's going to worship the idol, it's a very profound gemara. You know, sometimes the Jew... The beautiful part, we'll say, about the Jew is that his kedusha is apparent to everyone. Sometimes it's apparent to everyone but himself. Sometimes everyone sees it. The world sees it, his neighbors see it, everyone sees that a Yid is special, except the Jew himself loses sight of his kedusha. So Safta ben Allah says, wait for me, I'm running into to worship Baal Pa'ar. This lady says, aren't you a Jew? Aren't you Jewish? And he says, don't worry about it. So, we'll say, so what happens? So Nichnas, supposed to listen to this, he goes in, Par b'fanav, so he defecates in front of the idol. The kinach b'chumto, and he wiped himself on the nose of the idol. V'hayu mishar se avodazara makalsinlo. The priests of Pa'ar were praising him incredibly. V'omrim me'olam ohaya adam sha'avdo lo zobekach. Wah. We've never seen such tzidkus, right? We've never seen someone worship a par like this, right? The imam is use the nose of the idol to wipe yourself godless. So we'll say, listen to this. So the Gemara says over here, if you look at Rashi says, Mekalsin Meshabchin, right? That they went ahead and they praised him. Now, the Gemara ends off over here and says, fine. So let's say, so now, that's the end of the story. Now, what do we do with this story? Now watch this. So we'll say, if somebody goes out and defecates in front of Baal Pa'ar, so he's chayiv for Avodah Zarah. Even what we'll say, let's say a person says, I defecated all over Baal Pa'ar. Why? Because I'm doing my part in eradicating Avodah Zarah. Well, it doesn't work, because even though your kavana was to disparage the idol, because that is the mechanism of worship, you will be chayef at. Now, Bosai, now remember what I said to you about two different versions of the story? So according to the version that he's worshipping Baal Pa'ar, okay, you just read the story straight. The fact that the Gemara chooses to put this statement right after the story of Safta ben Alas, some understand to mean that Safta ben Alas' intention was to what? Was to degrade the idol. The difference is he degraded it in a manner in which it was worshipped, and therefore what? He's still chayiv. That's the Gemara is coming to teach me. That even though I'm defecating on the idol, in order to go ahead and take away from its kedusha, because that is the manner and the mode of worship, ultimately, again, I will be chayiv. So the Gemara goes weiter. Similarly, Azorik Evan the Markalis, Zavadaso. Similarly, we'll say, if I throw a stone at Markalis, I'm going to be chayiv. Why? Because we'll say, I am throwing stones at it as a way of disparaging the Avodah Zarah, but yet, again, because that is the way in which it is worshipped, therefore, what? I will be chayiv. So the Gemara says the following, Afagav demechavi lemir gemay, even though my intention is to stone it. So the Gemara tells, excuse me, another Maisa. What's the Maisa? Rav Menashe Avaka Azil Beit Tursa. So Rav Menashe went to Beit Tursa. What's that's the name of the place? Amrulo, Avodazari hi de Kaihacha. So we'll say Sir Menashe is in Beitor. So, and they tell him, by the way, there's an Avodazari here. There's an Avodazari. So what did Rav Menashe do? Shakil Pisa, Shadube. He took a clod of earth and he threw it at the Avodazara. They said to him, you know, by the way, Amrulo, Markalis he. So they said, by the way, the Avodazara that's here is the Avodazara of Markalis. They're about to say, how do you worship Markalis? You throw stones at it. Amrulohu, Hazarik Evan the Markalis Tanan. So it's Rav Menashe, you know, Rav Menashe, I just want to let you know that Lamaisa, again, you just threw a stone at Markalis. That's the way you worship it. To which Rav Menashe responds that that's only if you throw the stone to honor the idol. I threw the stone in order to go ahead and disparage the idol, and therefore, again, I should not be chayiv. To which the Gemara says, what happens? Asa sha'al be midrashah. So Menashe went to ask the Shaila in the Beis Medrash. In other words, Abosai, see, he just threw the stone at Markalis. Now, obviously, he's not going to be chayiv for Avodah Zarah. But Lamaisa, did he commit an act of Avodah Zarah b'shogeg? That's the real shayla. Amar Leis, they said to him, Hazorek Avin b'Markalis Tinan. That the Mishnah says that if you throw a stone at Markalis, you're chayiv. Afagav d'mechavi l'mir gimei. Even though your intention is to stone the idol, to disparage the idol, if you throw a stone, you're going to be chayiv. Amar Lehu, Ezel Ishkeis. Rabbi Nash said, well, if that's the case, I'm going to go and what? I'm going to remove the stone from the idol. He threw the stone at the idol, and the stone was sitting on the idol. So he said, I'm going to go and remove the stone. I threw it, because now he realized, well, so by the way, he realized he mistakenly worshipped Avodah Zarah. Because what the Gemara is saying over and over and over is that if you serve an idol in the way it's normally served, even though it's an objectively disparaging act, and even though what? Your intention is to disparage the idol, but if you serve the idol in the normative form, in the normative mode of worship, you're going to be chayiv. From Menashe realized he accidentally worshipped Avodah Zarah. So let me go get back my stone. So they said to him, no, leave it alone. Amr le echad anot lev echad anos nechayiv. Now, because I was saying by Markalis, whether you throw the stone or you take away a stone, you're chayiv. Why? Because kol chad v'chad ravcha lechaver teshavik. Because I was saying, when you remove, they used to, at some point in time, they used to, it's like, lahavdu elef alfe rive havdalos. Right? I was saying, this time of year is when they have one of the annual cleaning up of the notes from the kotel, right? So by Markle, it's also lahavdil elef alfei rive havdalos. They'd have to go ahead and remove the stone from Markalis. So therefore, Abbas said, the act of removing the stone from Markalis was also a form of Avodah Zarah. Therefore, they essentially told Rav Menashe, leave it alone. You made a mistake, leave it alone. Fine. Mishnah, Abbas said, continuing with Avodah Zarah. Hanosim izar l'molach, enu chai v'ashim shal l'molach. Abbas said, if a person goes out and gives over his child, his offspring, to Molech, he's only chayiv after he gives over to us. So we're going to define these terms in just a little bit. So you're only chayiv for Molech. So we'll see, Molech wasn't, we often think Molech was child sacrifice. We're actually going to learn today it was not child sacrifice. But if somebody gives over his offspring to Molech, he's only chayiv if he hands over the child to Molech. V'ya'avir ba'ish, and the child is taken through the fire. We'll explain all this in just a bit. Masal ha'molech v'lo hevir ba'ish, but if a person gave over his child to Molech, but did not pass him through the fire, or hevir ba'ish lo masal ha'molech, or passed him through the fire, but did not give him over to Molech, eino chayiv, you're not chayiv. When are you chayiv? So we'll say, what the Gemara seems to be saying over here is that l'maisa, in order to be chayiv for Molech, you have to give over your offspring to the priests of Molech, and then there has to be a formal handing over to the priests of Molech, and then a formal taking of the child through the fires. We're going to see a child who's passed through fires, not put in fires, but passed through fires. Only then are you chayiv in Molech. So the Mishnah is teaching me two things. Number one, there has to be a handing over to the priest. And number two, there has to be a taking of the child through the fire. If you're missing any one of those two pieces, it's not good, but it's not Avodah Zarah. Says the Gemara, Katani Avodah Zarah, Katani Molech. The interesting enough, Rabbi said, the previous Mishnah spoke about Avodah Zarah, and this Mishnah speaks about Molech. Why is Molech being singled out from Avodah Zarah? To which the Gemara says something very interesting. Wow. Our Mishnah seems to reflect the view that Molech was not Avodah Zarah. Well, if Molech's not Avodah Zarah, so what is it? Rashi points out it's some type of kishuf, that it was some type of sorcery. So again, it's still Aser, because kishuf is Aser also, and there's a chiyuv misa for kishuf, but it's not Avodah Zarah. It's not idolatry. Tisanya, echad lemolech ve'echad l'shav avodazara chayiv. They will say ultimately again, if one gave over his son for molech or for any other avodazara, you are chayiv. So the fact that molech and avodazara are reckoned separately indicates to us that molech and avodazara are two separate things. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer, lemolech chayiv, shlo lemolech pater. No, Rabbi Shimon Omer says if you give over your child for molech, you're chayiv. But if you give over your child for some other avodazara, you're pater. Why? Because according to Shimon Elazar, that's not the way in which the avodazara is worshipped. And according to Shimon Elazar, if you worship an avodazara in a non-normative fashion, you are going to be potter. To which the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, Amar Davar Echad." So Rabbi says, "Rabbi Lazar ben Shimon and Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus say the same thing." So Rabbi Lazar ben Shimon, Hadamar. So what's Rabbi Lazar ben Shimon is what we just said before. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Over here, Shalom Malach Potter." It's four lines up from the bottom. The Molech Dafka Ksivi Shadarka Bekach V'Lo Mishma Avod Lazara Asher. I love the Hami Ika Yavodu Nafka Elachol Kulahem V'Atorek Bid Alchok Zeh B'Skilaficha Chotzer Lichtov. So what Shimon Elazar says that you are only chayv for giving over your children to Molech. If you give over your child to a different avodazara, you will not be chayiv because that's not the normative form of worship. What Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus say? Disanya, Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus Omer, Mifnei Ma Tafsa Torah Lashon Molech. Why does the Torah call? Wait, what's the lashon of Molech? Now, I will say Molech literally means what? Rulership, like Melech. Molech means that you have literally placed something over you as a ruler. Kol shem lichu alehem afilu tzra v'afilu kisim. They both say one could make something into avodah zarah, anything that you ascribe powers to over you, anything that you say has power over you, becomes the isser of molech. That could be even a pebble, it could be even a twig. Rava amar, molech arai ikabenai. Rava says the nafkamina between them will be a temporary molech. Look at Rashi before you turn the page. Rava Amar lo amru davar echad de molech arai ika benayhu ki gon tzrav ikisim shen aroy lakach vezelef yishayim lichu alav lahavir lo beno Rav Lezer Rav Shimon lo mechayiv ela bemolech kavua. So we'll say Rava suggests that the machlokes Rav Chanina ben Antigonus Rav Lezer Rav Shimon is what happens if you create a temporary molech. You ascribe rulership powers to some stone, so to some twig. So according to Rav Lezer Rav Shimon, that's not molech. According to Rabbi Chanina ben Antigonus, ultimately again it is molech. Amud Beis. Amud Rav Yanai. Eno chayiv ashim sura l'mishar se avod zora. So Rav Yanai says, going back to the Mishnah, so Rav Yanai is coming to go ahead and explain the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, I'm only chayiv for molech if what? If A, I hand over the child to avod zora, and B, the child to the priest, and B, the child is taken through the fires. So the Gemara says, Rav Yanai says, you're only chayiv if you give over the child to the priests of the avod zora. Shneimar u'mizaracha lo sitin lahavir l'molech. Because the pasuk says, your offspring you shall not give over to molech. Tainina me'achir b'ris that supports this. Yochel hevir v'lo maser. I might have thought that if the child is taken through the fires, and we're going to describe this process in just a moment. I might have thought that if you take the child through the fire of molech, but you did not first hand him over to the priests of molech, that he would be chayiv, that the father would be chayiv. Tamalomar lo sitain. Therefore, the pasuk says, the pasuk says, you shall not give over your child to molech, which ultimately means that you're only chayiv if you first give your child over to the priests. Masala molech lo hevir. I might have thought that if you give your child over to the priests of molech, but the child is not taken through the fires of molech, that yochol yehi chayiv, the father would be chayiv. Tamalomar la hevir. Therefore, the pasuk says, no, that in order to be chayiv for molech, the child must be taken through the fire. Maser the hevir shalol the molech. Yochol yechayiv. I might have thought that ultimately, again, if the child was given over to the priests and taken through the fire, but for a different avodah zarah, not for molech, that the father would be chayiv. Tamud lomar limolech. Therefore, the pasuk says, no, you're only chayiv if the child is given over for molech. Maser v'hevir lemolech v'lo ba'ish. Yochol yechayiv. I might have thought that if the child is given over to the priests, right, and ultimately, again, for the purpose of molech, but not through fire, it's passed through water, that I would be chayiv. Ne'emar kan lahavir, v'ne'emar lahalon, lo yimotzei b'cha ma'avir b'no u'bito ba'ish. The pasuk over here says lahavir. The pasuk over there says that there shall not be found amongst you someone who passes his son or his daughter through fire. Ma lahalon ba'ish, afkan ba'ish. Just like over here is fire, so too over there is fire. Af simsmak u'makan molech, af lahalon molech. So we'll say, so bottom line, what Rabbi Yana is coming to teach me is the following, that I'm only chayiv for the avodah zarah of molech chifat Rabbi Osai. Number one, it's molech. That's number one. Number two, the child is given over to the priests. Number three, the child is passed through fire. Right, so first of all, you see, like, you mamash have to be committed to violate Avodah Zarah. Like you know, if you're just like a recreational sinner, it's not going to work out for you. You mamash have to be committed to the detail. Sit by it. All kidding aside, it's an incredible, incredible musr in life. That if you want to be successful, you have to be committed to the details. If you are not vigilant with the details, your plans will not materialize. So you want to worship a Molech? There's a whole checklist of things that you need to get done in order to ensure. And if you are not vigilant with those details, it's not Molech. So I'll say the Gemara goes weiter. Rav Ach's name of Rava. Heavier Kolzaro Patra. Most listen to this. If you go ahead and you pass all of your children through Molech, you're Patra. So meaning, you make it as a family outing. All the kids are going for Molech. So we'll say, so the Maisi, you take all the kids through Molech, you're Patra. Why Shneemar? Mizaracha v'lo Kolzaracha. Because we'll say, the Lashon of the Pasuk by Molech is Mizaracha. If you take of your offspring, which indicates to me what? Because some of my offspring, but not all of my offspring. So we'll say, you'll say, so it doesn't make sense. Remember, this is just Xeris HaKosif. This is just what the Pasuk says. So the Gemara goes right there. Bayi Rav Ashi, Hever Suma Mahu. What happens if a person has a child who's blind? And he takes the blind child through Molech. What's Talocha? Yoshin Mahu. What happens if the child is sleeping and he's passed through Molech? What's Talocha? Ben Beno'u Ben Bito Mahu. What happens if you take your grandchild through Molech? What's Talocha? So both sides. So take a look at Rashi for just a moment over here. It's almost right across. Rashi Heaviru. Libno suma o yoshin mi havi derecha abar bekach pichi agavna. De'eno yachol la'abar ba'atzmoem hayarotze. We'll say the common denominator amongst all of these things is that Lamaisa, the child is not going of his own volition. So if he's blind, he can't go on his own. If Lamaisa, again, he's sleeping, he can't go on his own. Now the grandchild one is just a separate question. The Pasuk says you may not take your offspring through Molech. What does offspring refer to? Does offspring refer to my children or even to my grandchildren? To which the Gemara says, I can't answer the first two, but I can answer the last one. Tiv shot mi ha'chadu. We can at least answer one of these questions. The Sanyo, ki mizaro nosan l'molech. Says, of his offspring, he gave to Molech. Ma tamul omar, l'fi shenemar lo yimatzeh b'cham ma'avir b'no b'ito ba'ish. The Pasuk beforehand says that there shall be found amongst you someone who passes his son or his daughter through the fire. In the Ele B'no Bito, I only know that the prohibition of Molech applies to a son or a daughter. Ben B'no Ben Bito, mean, how do you know that it applies to a grandchild as well? Tamil Omar, Besito Mizaro. So it's like, you can't answer the sleeping child or the blind child, but at least for the grandchild, that we can darshan. The fact that the Torah first used Lashon of Benobas, then used the Lashon of Zera, offspring, teaches me that one would be chayiv ultimately again for passing their grandchildren through Molech as well. Tana, Pasuk Mechizara B'Zarek B'Sito Mizaro. Tana says over here, Torah begins the discussion of Zera and ends off ultimately again B'Chiz Mizaro V'Sadak B'Sito Mizaro Drasha Achrinu. That's actually coming to teach you something different. How so? Zaro Imi Ela Zera Kasha. So also when it says Zaro, I only know that the prohibition of Molech applies to my kosher children. Zera Paslamina. So let's say a person has disqualified offspring, a mamzer, a cholol, something else. How do I know that I'm chayiv for going ahead and passing those children through Molech as well? Tamulom Rasito Mizaro. Am Rabbi Yehuda Eino Chayiv at Sheverenu Derech Ha'avara. So Rabbi Yehuda says, one is only chayiv for Molech. If one goes in and passes their children through Molech in the normative fashion. Abosana, here we go. Now the Gemara is for the first time going to describe the actual Avodah Zarah of Molech. Hechi dami. Abosana, what does Molech look like? Amar Abaye, Shraga de Libni b'mitzoy nura mehay gisa v'nura mehay gisa. So I said there was a path of bricks, right? A brick path. And on each side of the brick path were fires, right? Shraga de Libni b'mitzi, a path brick in the middle. Nura mehay gisa, benura mehay gisa. Fire on each side of the path. And Molech means you took your child through the path. So I will say, so again, the reason that people often think that Molech was child sacrifice. There were other Avodah Zarahs that were child. Molech was not child sacrifice. Molech was just walking in between two fires. I mean, again, and you didn't get burned. The idea is fires on each side, the brick path in the middle. You walk between the two fires. Rava Amma, this is actually very interesting. Kimish Varsa Bipuria. Kimashurta de Puria. So listen to this. Rava says it was kind of like fire jumping on Purim. So we'll say, this is amazing. So apparently one of the famous Purim pastimes, during the times of the Gemara, look at Rashi just a moment. Rava Amma Kimashurta de Puria. Eino ma'abir baraglov. No, so Rava says, Rava disagrees with Abaye. And whereas Abaye says you walked on a brick path in between two fires, Rava says differently. Rava says, Ela kolfeitz beraglov. You would jump over a fire. So the way Molech worked was you take your child in your arms, either the parent or the priest would take the child in their arms, and what would they do? They would jump over a fire. So Rashi says over here, Kiderech shetinokos kolfzin bimea purim. Both said, this is amazing. You thought you've seen ridiculous Purim shtick. This apparently takes the cake over here. So they used to jump over fires on Purim. So just like the kids would jump over a fire on Purim, that was Molech as well. They would jump over a fire. So we'll say, fundamental Machlokes Abaye and Rava about the Tzura of Molech. Tanya Kaval said, Rava, we have a right set support, Rava. Inu Chayva, Shevrenu, Ad Shevirenu, Derech Abara. So ultimately, again, the Raisa says that you're only chayiv from Molech if you pass the child over the fire in the normative way. Ha'avira berega potter. But we'll say if at the end of the day you just walked across, you would be potter. So we'll say the idea over here is that it seems to support Rava that Molech was a jumping over a fire. Ve'no chayiv ela al yotzei yirecho. And you're only chayiv ultimately again if you do Molech on your direct offspring. Ha'ketzad. Right, if you did molech on your son, your daughter, you'd be chayiv of avi imo ve'achavach also potter. But if you did molech on your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, you'd be potter. Have your atzma potter. The Rebbe said, let's say you do molech on yourself, right? You self molech. You go ahead and you jump over the fire, or you go ahead and you walk across the brick path, whichever, meaning whatever form of all the zar it is. So the halacha is you're going to be potter. So the Rebbe said, the nature of molech, the tzura of the avodah zarah itself, is that a person was giving over his offspring to Molech. That was the tzura of the avodah zarah. So if you do it yourself, you're potter. Rabbi Shimon says no, that's chayiv. Echol leMolech ve'echol l'shar avodah zarah. We'll say, let's say a person goes ahead and does this process of passing this child through for Molech for another avodah zarah. Chayiv, one will be chayiv. So we'll say, according to this opinion, even if you go ahead and you do this process for another avodah zarah, you'll be chayiv. Rabbi Elazar Shimon Omer, lemolech chayiv shel lemolech patra. We'll say we saw this before. Rabbi Elazar Shimon holds that no, this form of worship, Rabbi Elazar, is only for molech. If you do this for a different avodah zarah, you will be patra. Amar Ula, my time, Rabbi Elazar Shimon. So Ula said, what's the reason? What's Rabbi Shimon Elazar's logic? Amar Kra lo yimatzei becha. Right, you shall not be found amongst you becha. So look at Rashi for just a moment. So why does Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon say that you are ultimately again chayiv, even if you pass yourself through? Ultimately again, because the pasuk is lo yimatzei becha, that it can't be found within you, molech, which Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon understands to mean that even if you pass yourself over molech, you will be chayiv. Rabbanan lo darshi becha, Rabbanan don darshin this, I v'hotnan, so it says, is that true that Rabbanan don darshin becha? V'hotnan, we learned, avidaso v'avidas aviv shaloko demas. So we'll say, interesting halacha. If I lose an object, and my father loses an object, so I am permitted to look for my object before I look for my father's object. In other words, my loss comes before my father's loss. If I'm in my time, we say, what's the reason for that? From Yehuda Makra, Efes kilo ye becha evyon. Because we'll say, the pasuk says, but there should not be amongst you someone who is destitute. So we'll say, we learn from there, Sheloko demas l'shal kol adam. The Rabbi said, Efes kilo ye becha evyon means you have the right to prevent yourself from becoming destitute before you help someone else. Therefore, the Rabbanan aren't dashing becha. And they're saying that Lamaisa, your loss ultimately comes before someone else's loss. To which the Gemara says, Hassam me'efes. They're actually, the Gemara is learning it out from what we'll say, from the word efes. Am Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Chanina, Shalosh Krisos, b'avodah zarah lama. They will say, why is it that we have, ultimately again, why is Karis mentioned three different times by avodah zarah? To which the Gemara darshins, Achas l'kidarko, one to teach you that Shechayiv Karis if you worship the avodah zarah kidarko, v'achas l'shalok kidarko, one to teach you if you worship the avodah zarah shalok kidarko, in a non-normative fashion, v'achas l'molech. And Rabbi say, one to teach you a prohibition of molech. So the Gemara says, so Rabbi say, that makes sense point to Mandarmu, who says what? That molech is not a form of avodah zarah. Well, the Mandarmu, molech avodah zarah, he, the one who says that molech is a form of avodah zarah, so the Karis of molech lamali, why do I need a separate Karis by molech? Rabbi said, to teach me that if you do this process of passing your child through the fire for another avodah zarah, you'll be chayiv for that as well. And the one who says it will say, the case of blasphemy is in fact the case of idolatry. Kares b'megadeh flamali. Why did the Torah to record kares by megadeh? L'chid isanya. It will say for the following brisa. He kares ti kares. So we'll say the pasuk says he kares ti kares. Someone who worships all the zara literally will be cut off twice. He kares b'olam hazeh. He kares b'olam haba. Person is cut off in this world, and a person chasham is cut off in the world to come. Dibra b'kiba. Amr b'shmal. V'alo kevar ne'emar v'nichrisa. But one second, the pasuk already says v'nichrisa, so it's hikaris, tikaris, and v'nichrisa. V'chi shlosho lamim nish. We'll say, why would I need karis mentioned three times? Are there three worlds? Elo v'nichrisa ba'olam hazeh. Rather, I will say, v'nichrisa means that if somebody worships Avodah Zarah, he's going to be cut off in this world. He kares the olam haba. He will be cut off, unfortunately, in the world to come. And tikares, what about the third tikares? In other words, tikares, dibra Torah kalasha mene adam. So I will say, ultimately, again, there is no drasha associated with that tikares. Rather, what? The Torah is just speaking in a normative fashion. I will say, shkoyach, we will stop over here. Meretz Hashem, pick up with the next Mishnah tomorrow.